Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, what is TechNori? Put simply, TechNori is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured, and they have now gone on to date to raise over $260 million in funding. To keep kind of online with what we've been talking about, we've got another guest sitting in here who also is here to talk about IoT and things like that. So I guess I move over to our friends over at, is it pronounced Datus? I want to make sure I say it right.
Datus, that is correct.
Now, here's the first $1 million question for you right off the bat. We're firing fast. I say data.
Uh-huh.
Others say data.
Uh-huh.
Is Datus about data?
Datus is a play on data and status.
So can I say Datus?
You could say Datus.
Do you want me to say Datus?
No, I don't want you to say
so
Datus.
So Datus. All right.
Do you say status or status?
Status.
Okay.
I don't know how to read, guys. I didn't. I am functionally illiterate. I swear to God, I can read. I read good, but I can't.
One day at a time.
I just, you know, I don't know how to read so much. But okay, so the guys from Datus.
Datus.
See?
Think status.
About half the people call it data, so I've stopped complaining now.
Yeah, but this is on the air. All right. Datus. Yes.
Correct.
All right. Well, Chad Richardson, and I'm sorry I didn't catch your name.
Anurag Garg.
Leave it at that.
All right.
I don't know how to pronounce anything either. I told you guys, I can't read. But most importantly, though, we do have you in here to talk about a lot of really cool things. And one of the things in this show, we've talked to guys at MHub about manufacturing. We've had guys from Windy City Rails talk about IoT. We had ParkWiz on just before you guys talking about connected cars and all this other stuff. We are, and then, you know, forget about CES and all the other tech that's going on in the world right now. We are connecting people at a rate that has never been seen. And at some point, you know, there's got to be like a stop and like step back for a second and be like, all right, what are we doing here? What are you guys seeing as a whole? Like from the standpoint of IoT and using these innovations and things, how do you, your whole business is built around this, I suspect. How do you guys, what was that moment that you were able to step back and take a look at this and go, this is going to be a big deal?
So we started back in 2013 looking to commercialize sensors, physical sensors, for industrial applications. And after walking the floor about 400 or so manufacturing facilities, we realized sensors are great, but in a world where smart and connected devices have transformed personal lives and we have smart homes, smart phones, smart cars, everything smart, industrial facilities, as much as we talk about smart machines and smart factories, are not as smart as they should be.
Yep.
The last data I read was less than 14% of machines, less than one in four machines, are connected to a network today to produce any type of live data. But manufacturing facilities want the same, right? Prevent unplanned downtime, improve efficiencies, improve safety, prevent environmental disasters. You can't do that unless you have real-time data coming through. So the opportunity we realized was is massive on the manufacturing side because nothing's connected yet.
One thing I wanted to kind of immediately go into with this is, and obviously if this goes too far into the weeds, feel free to just back us right out of it. But manufacturers as a whole, there's numerous startup companies that we've either met with or featured or I've mentored or whatever it is, who are working in the safety compliance area of manufacturing. They see this tremendous value with sensors to be able to tell you this, the working conditions are too hot, mm-hmm. or the working conditions are, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of different things that you could measure. And the question through all of the sort of A/B testing and things was, is it preventing enough to provide the businesses with enough value? Obviously, there's a human value. Of course, no life, you don't want, of course, any business does not want to have someone die or be hurt on the job. But from a risk analysis standpoint, before they spend a bunch of money on a product, there has to be enough reason or value provided by these sensors and safety. How have you guys, and it's, you said 2013, right? Mm-hmm. In such a short time, how have you guys been able to get the manufacturers, and I assume that a lot of them are in Illinois, maybe not, I don't know. How have you gotten them to sort of jump on board and speak this language with you?
Specifically on the safety side or IoT in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit of both. I mean, I feel like they all know there's a wealth of data, mm-hmm. data, mm-hmm. but this is Datus, guys. No, but there's a lot of that stuff, that information.
Uh-huh.
I find that they do a great job of collecting it accidentally And then they do a not so great job of filing it and organizing the data. Mm-hmm. But how have you been able to convince them that they should pay attention to this, that this is something they should to do? Because the guys we talk to, and it's been many of them, have been sort of, you know, I don't know, let me know when it rings my bottom line.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let me give you an example of one of the very first sales calls we did at a surface coal mine in West Virginia. They have these giant mining shovels. Imagine a 7-story shovel that fills up an 80-ton truck and 3 bucket loads. Produces $17,000 per hour. On our second visit there, they had what they called a very simple failure on the shovel. One of the bearings failed. It took them 2.5 shifts to get back up and running. That's 20 hours at a facility that is operating 24/7 on
a
machine that is
producing
$17,000 an hour. 20 hours of downtime is $340,000 of opportunity cost. One incident. And that happens often.
I'd like to have you do sales calls for Technori. Because, I'm serious. Like, I met with, there's a couple of companies working out of Milwaukee that they're not nearly at the level that you guys are at now. It's very, you know, they're working through these problems. But, you know, I told them to find case studies similar to what you're talking about as an example. Like, this is what could happen. The opportunity cost one time could pay for the service 5 times, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or more. But I still feel like I obviously see the tremendous value for this. But I see that some of these companies, although we'll have the city treasurer on next year, maybe he'll be able to tell us what these companies are going to do long term. But I don't know how to phrase this question the way I'm looking for. I guess what I'm looking to ask you is, are there companies that you say you're just not, like, you don't get it and it can't help you? Or you know, how, I guess it's just a weird, you know what I mean? Because this is it's big in our world, but it's not so big in their world.
I think it goes both ways. Some just aren't ready to adapt an IoT strategy.
Where does that leave them? I mean, in my mind, I feel like that's kind of a big problem.
I think a good one of the quotes that we always go back to is from the former CEO of GE.
Chief Digital Officer of GE.
There's no Jack Welch here.
No
Six Sig going on in the room.
But he put it best. I mean, those that do not adapt an IoT strategy, it's going to be similar to not adapting to the internet when the internet was first brought online.
That would be a problem.
Big problem.
So similar to that comment, I was on the air on Saturday, and I'm not going to name names of people because they're probably around here, but there was a lady who asked me about all the websites in Chicago. That was the question. It's like, I don't
know. Every website?
Do you mean every single web? Like, is the IP address in Chicago? Like, I don't understand. Like, what? I'm baffled. What do you mean? And she meant startups. And it was like, she works for a large company. Hmm. And it was like, whoa, wait, I'm sorry, what? She thought that the whole startup tech thing that we're talking about here in Chicago was websites. Just websites.
Nothing more.
Yep, just websites.
There definitely are people we talk to who just aren't ready for that technology.
We're moving so fast. If you don't, like, it's, I was saying this to, I can't even say their name in the air, so this sucks. but you get the point. We're moving faster tech-wise than ever before. It's not like back in the old days where you'd be able to, like, write something down, like, well, you know, we're going to have to pay some intern to come in and digitize. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is not that. If you don't collect the early data, you don't have an opportunity to go back and find out what was going right or wrong. Mm-hmm. So you're literally, like, you're erasing years out of your history.
Here's the other part. I mean, the world as we know it has changed because of technology. And the millennial generation, especially if you look at manufacturing, if manufacturing companies or machine manufacturers want to attract the next generation of talent, want to attract millennials to the businesses, they have to cater to them. They have to embrace technology in the workplace. They have to make machines smart. They have to make factories smart. Otherwise, no one wants to work at a facility that looks like it was 1970s.
It's more than just a hammock in the hallway.
Yeah, exactly.
We also like to actually, you know, use technology. You know what I mean? This is very fascinating stuff. I guess one of the last kind of pieces that I'd throw to you guys, have you guys worked with any of the guys at MHub at all?
We're actually set to move to MHub at the end of February, I think. So March 1,
wow,
we're going to be
announcement
there.
Announcement on air. Yeah. All right.
Ooh, breaking news.
Congratulations.
Bill knows about this, right?
Bill should know about this. Oh, I believe he does.
I don't want him to find out that we're like, hey, Bill. We just got you a new, you got a new tenant in town. Very cool. We're working on some exciting stuff with MHub as well. So I'm sure that once that stuff's announced, we'll be in touch again. What are some things that, you know, lasting remarks? What are some things people should look for when they think about Datus?
Give Chad a call.
Give Chad a call. What's Chad's phone number, ladies and gentlemen? Chad, are you married?
I am married.
Okay,
married,
just checking.
Two beautiful kids. All right, lovely
wife. Just want to make sure. Don't want to get anybody in trouble.
But yes, by all means, reach out. You can go to our website, www.datus.com. That's DATTUS.com. I'm happy to give live demos.
You guys are on Twitter, too, and all that other stuff, I believe.
We're on LinkedIn.
On the book.
We've embraced technology.
It's probably a good idea given, you know.
What we do.
Yeah, it's important.
Our big focus is educate and inform. And just like you said, half the world is not ready for this yet because they don't understand what IoT is. So many sales calls we do, and the response we get back is, what is IoT?
Yeah.
And we have to start from square one. So a big part of what we do is educate, inform, and hopefully it will help us and everyone else around us grow.
Very, very cool. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to come in here today. And I'd actually like to have you guys come back again once we get everything set up with MHub.
Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Very cool. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
We are going to be having our Technori Showcase back. It's finally back in town. January 31st, it's going to be crowdfunding is sort of the theme. Go figure. One of the companies definitely going to be on the stage is going to be Ellison, who's been a guest many times. They hit the crowdfunding minimum already on the Republic platform. There's another company called Giving. Giving Shops, Shops, Givings, Givings.shops. I can't remember. But Ronnie Sage is my man, and he's going to be also featuring and launching his company. We're going to have a couple of companies who are coming from, one from Los Angeles called Wimmy. There's a handful of other companies. And essentially, we look at this as an opportunity for people to learn more about crowdfunding if they're going to get involved in it. And we think that it potentially could be a big changer for the experience at Technori. You can actually come in and get involved with these companies if you want to. Of course, not mandatory, and it's not mandatory to be crowdfunding if you come on stage. So if you want to get on stage, please go to technori.com and send your application in now. We're going to be picking the teams and announcing it via email in the next week. Look for a Thursday email with more details around this event. And as always, you can keep up with our shows, Technori Stories, The Feed with Sean on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.